हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैतगराधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 19, chapter 8, the story of Pingala. The instruction of the Avadhut Brahman received from the ocean is that the mind of the sage who is devoted to the personality of Godhead appears very clear and grave, just like the still ocean waters. The ocean does not overflow during the rainy season, when all the flooded rivers discharge their waters into it, nor does it dry up during the hot season, when the rivers fail to supply it. Similarly, the sage does not become elated when he achieves desirable things, though it is to become distressed in their absence. Because it's just whatever situation you're in, that's what's then engaged in the Lord's service. We get too disturbed by, no, it has to be this or it has to be that. Because the point is to know it has to be Krishna. That's the essential element. So the connection to Krishna is the actual important part. Then what areas that we want to deal in, that's our own particular attachment. Now, if that area is connected to Krishna, then that attachment is not a problem. That's called rati. But if it has a conditioned element to it, it's something to do with a conditioned body and mind, then that's different. Yes. Right? So that is the one we don't react to. The instruction of the moth is that just as he becomes enticed by the fire and gives up his life, the fool who cannot control his senses becomes enchanted by the forms of women decorated with gold ornaments and fine clothing. Chasing after these embodiments of the divine illusory energy of the Lord, he loses his life untimely and falls down in the most horrible hell. Right, so by the influence of the Lord's, the reflection of the internal potency or the external potency, then the idea is all opulences are there, right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So someone may be attracted by this one or that one, that. But the point is the feminine nature embodies all those. Because that's when it has the best, like beauty, it has the best form of that. Fame, you know, wealth, how you say, influence. Does that make sense? You know, how you say, knowledge, renunciation. Mm-hmm. So it's always, it means if you have, let's say you have it's just part of the mentality that's there. Like you have, let's say, a group of more experienced women. You know, they've had families, they've grown up, they've seen like this, and now, you know, the children are trying to do things and like that. They can always point out just how stupid the men are. Right? Because they get bewildered by all these things. They don't. They work in this work. The bewilderment is the idea that this can make you happy, but it doesn't distract them from doing their work. Well, men get distracted. Right? It's different. So, does that make sense? So that's why then you take, this is the natural form to say everything is included there. Does that make sense? There are two kinds of bees, the bumblebee and the honeybee. The instruction learned from the bumblebee is that a sage should collect only small amounts of food from many different households, and thus, day after day, practice the occupation of madhukari. Maintaining his existence. A sage should also collect the essential truths from all scriptures, be they great or insignificant. The instruction received from the second insect, the honeybee, is that a merchant sannyasi Mendicant sannyasi should not save food he bakes for the sake of having it later that night or the next day, because if he does so, then just like the greedy honeybee, he will be destroyed along with his hoard. Right, because the honeybee is storing. If the bees went out, collected pollen, made honey, ate it, and there's nothing there, would anybody ever bother the bees?
No.
There's no reason to go anywhere near them, right? They sting, right? But because they have these huge amounts of honey, therefore then one goes and takes everything from them, right? And depending upon who they are in the process, they may all get destroyed. Right, those who know how to maintain it, they'll go there, put smoke, and they'll go away. Then you take, and you leave a certain amount. And then those. But those who don't, like, you know, the bear and that just goes, knocks the whole thing down and just eats it and couldn't care less what happens to the bees, right? Right? Yeah. From the elephant, the Avadhut Brahmana received the following instruction. Male elephants are tricked by hunters into moving towards captive female elephants, whereupon they fall into the hunter's ditch and are captured. Similarly, the man who becomes attached to the form of woman falls down into the deep well of material life and is destroyed. Right? So when you have this whole thing of it's the opulence, as we mentioned before, the feminine form is the embodiment of all these opulences or the potential for developing that. Does that make sense? So that's why then that's the main focus here. Now we see the original form is Krishna as the masculine, his energies. And so it's the interaction between him and his energies. So it's on the transcendental platform. But when it comes to the material platform, then we're seeing separately from Krishna. So the feminine form is the embodiment of all the different opulences that you can function separate from Krishna. So now if you connect them to Krishna, then there's no problem. Then you're working on the transcendental platform. But if you're not, then this is where the distraction is. You know, does that make sense? The same knife will cut your potatoes nicely, will also cut your finger nicely. You know? So, does that make sense? So that's the whole. The instruction received from the honey thief, right? So if you watch the bees, you learn from what the problem is. Now you learn from the honey thief, right? Is that just as he steals the honey collected with great effort by the honeybee, a person in the renounced order of life has the privilege of enjoying before anyone else the food and other valuable things purchased by the hard-earned money of the householders. Okay.
To live in state.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it's funny. The instruction from the deer, why? Because of this point of being connected to the transcendental. Because if it was just anybody else, then it's not. It's supposed to, because of that connection. Right? If it's not connected, then we have a problem here. So at least the other one, it does two things. And, you know, this one, it only does one.
Maharaj, it's why some people present as sannyasi for to steal.
Yeah, no, you have that. Bogus like that, because that's, you know, if you can't make it in the material world, then you become a sadhu, because then now you're there, you can speak, you get, you know, you get followers, you get everything like that. But you only collect those who are also wanting to be cheated, so cheaters and cheated, so then they'll all, you know, go down to hell. The instruction from the deer is that just as he becomes confused upon hearing the song of the hunter's flute and loses his life, so also does any person who becomes attached to mundane music and song uselessly waste his life.
Yeah. Body weak?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, so look at what happened to, you know, I say, what do you call it? Mozart, Beethoven, they're all dead.
Yeah. You know, so
it happens.
And you say that mundane music is just what is not Vedic music.
Mundane means it's for sense gratification. It's not even that, because I think that once some devotees came and, you know, they come across the, I think, you know, Ravi Shankar, a record of Ravi Shankar playing sitar. Because they had heard Prabhupada talking about the music and this and that, they brought it for, you know, and played it for Prabhupada. He listened. And after, you know, that side was over, then Prabhupada said, yeah, it's just mundane. So the thing is, even though it's technically, it's according to Shastra, that's the meaning of aparavidya. Aparavidya is that knowledge which is indirect knowledge, that you can, it's natural to use it in the pursuance of paravidya or transcendental knowledge. But if you don't, then that same knowledge is known as avidya. So the means you have 14 books of Vedic knowledge. So one is transcendental knowledge. The other 13, then if they're connected to that transcendental knowledge, so they're called aparavidya. Means not para, but indirect, they're connected. And if they're not connected to paravidya, they're called avidya. Right? Does that make sense? And then you see those in the renounced order, because they don't deal in so many of those areas of aparavidya, they just call them avidya anyway, because they're not going to engage them. Like that. So that's where everything's maya and all that comes from. So the point is connected to the Lord or not, that's what makes something maya or not. The instruction learned from the fish is that because he comes under the sway of attachment to the sense of taste, he is caught on the baited fish hook and must die. Similarly, an unintelligent person who is victimized by his insatiable tongue will also end up losing his life. There once was a prostitute named Pingala in the city of Videha, and from her the Avadhuta learned another lesson. One day she dressed herself in very attractive clothing and ornaments and was waiting from sunset until midnight for a customer. She waited in great anticipation, but as time passed, her mind became very uneasy. No man came to see her, and in disgust she finally became renounced, giving up her hankering for the arrival of a suitor. Thereafter she engaged herself in thinking only of the Supreme Lord, Hari, and her mind achieved the supreme platform of peace. The instruction received from her is that hopes for sense gratification are the root cause of all suffering. Therefore, only one who has given up such hankering can fix himself in meditation upon the personality of Godhead and achieve transcendental peace. Shloka Anusharana. Verses 1 to 21, the gurus in nature continued. 22 to 44, the story of Pingala. Verses 21 to 21. The gurus in nature continued. The saintly Brahman said, O king, the embodied living entity automatically experiences unhappiness in heaven or hell. Similarly, happiness will also be experienced even without one seeking it. Right? So unhappiness you get no matter where you are. So in the same way, you're not looking for unhappiness. No one generally goes out of the way to look for unhappiness, but they'll get unhappiness. Right? So then the point comes up is that happiness is the same. We're thinking we avoid unhappiness, endeavor for happiness. No. But without endeavor, unhappiness comes. In the same way, without endeavor, happiness will come. So therefore, the focus is we perform our duties to please Krishna. And then whatever we're due, that will come. Therefore, a person of intelligent discrimination does not make any endeavor to attain such material happiness. Following the example of the python, one should give up material endeavors and accept for one's maintenance food that comes of its own accord, whether such food be delicious or tasteless, ample or meager. If at any time food does not come, then a saintly person should fast for many days without making endeavor. He should understand that by God's arrangement, he must fast. Thus, following the example of the python, he should remain peaceful and patient. A saintly person should remain peaceful and materially inactive, maintaining his body without much endeavor. Even though possessed of full sensual, mental, and physical strength, a saintly person must not become active for material gain, but rather should always remain alert to his actual self-interest. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, one should not over-endeavor for maintaining the material body. So you do something, and whatever comes like that, then that's what you do. You don't over-endeavor. Right? This is taught through the example of the python in four verses. Just as suffering comes without desiring it, happiness also comes. What is the use of such desires? They just come and go on their own. Vita Nidra means he should remain constantly alert, thinking of the Supreme Lord as his goal. Since he has taken shelter of living like a python, thinking, my time should not be wasted in endeavoring for maintenance of my body. Such things are not my goal. So he just performs his duties as a saintly person, and whatever is supposed to come from that, that's what you'll get. That's what it is in all of them. The brahmachari performs his duties, whatever comes, the grihastha performs their duties, whatever comes, vanaprastha. So the proper performance of your duties to please the Lord, that's then what one should be endeavoring for. But to try to get something beyond that, that's considered over-endeavor. And that over-endeavor will not give results that we expect. Because so many, if over-endeavor actually worked, wouldn't then all the people of the world be, you know, basically rich and famous? You know, a handful are lazy, but the rest of them would all be doing well. But they're not. So that means over-endeavor doesn't work. All you do is get the trouble that is there from that. So here, as you see, whatever it's supposed to be, you do that. Right? That makes sense? You know, if you get less than what you need, you fast. If you get more than what you need, you give it away in charity.
Right. How do we explain, speaking of over-endeavor, so like people work for 8 hours, that's normal duty time, but they again work for surplus time, and then they get the money for that surplus amount of time that they work for. So they get, they're being paid.
They're being paid.
Yeah.
And so then they have, so they're working their 8 hours, and then they're working more than that, right? And getting paid for that, okay? How many hours are they working?
It depends from one profession to another.
But just an average?
Average, at least 10 to 12 hours.
Okay, so let's say 10 to 12. So that's 2 to 4 hours. Okay, so now you're going to get up in the morning, right? And then you're going to go to work at some point. So then if you start work at 9... right, then that means you have to, you know, leave the, say, just as an average by 8. That means you would have to been up and had breakfast and everything by 7. Right? Okay. Then at night, then 5, then you work, you get home, let's say around 6, you know, unless there's something you have to pick up, at 6, 6.30 you're home, and then, you know, you're going to go to bed at some point. Right? So now, that 4 hours, where is that going to come out of? It's not going to come out of your 8 hours. It's not going to come out of your bath time, your breakfast, or you can't take it out of your breakfast, but it's not going to come out of your commuting time.
Yeah.
Right? So you can take it out of your sleep.
Yes.
You can take it out of your sadhana. You can take it out of your time with your family. So you can say they got more, but for what reason? What purpose? What of what gain? If in gaining more money, then you lose sadhana and you lose time with the family, what's the whole point? So, do they gain? They say it's the professional thing to do, but then from this standpoint, as far as life goes, professionals are absolute idiots. Making money, they're good, but as far as living life, they're like the total biggest idiots on the planet. I mean, like, big time, big idiots. You know, what was that word? What was it? The macro? The brihat. Mahat. Yeah, the mahat bhogas. You understand? So that's the thing, is everyone's an idiot, and then they all pat themselves on the back for being idiots. And they all think that they're the best, you know, idiots around. And they are. You know, like that. They're way bigger idiots than the guy that just does his work and then, you know, spends time with his family. Because what do they get at the end of the day? Nothing. They have their money. It'll all go away. You know? Then that's the whole point, is that if that's what you want, you can do that. But the point is it will all be taken away, just like the honeybee. No matter how much you get, you're going to lose it. Like that. So that's the point. It's just, the difference is that you know, you're born with nothing, and then you have something, and then when you go, you have nothing. All it is that when they go, they have a lot more to lose. That's all. Yeah? So that's the point. He says, such things are not my goal. So if your goal is to have tons of money, but reduce on your sadhana and family time, then yes, then you're doing a great job. But if you at all consider ashram to be more important than varna, then since it's spiritual, then why would you trade spiritual for social? Because that's the whole thing. It's just they want more money, not that they need more money, right? You have this little dinky apartment. How much more can you stick in that apartment? Right? Okay, we can gold leaf the walls, maybe, if you want. But the apartment's only so big. Right? Does that make sense? So, let us say, okay, we sell that apartment, you know, in whatever place we are, and we move over to Marine Drive. Okay? And then on Marine Drive, we're not on the ground floor, we're up a bit. Right? And so, then, but we have the same square footage. It just cost us 10 times the amount. So what do we actually gain? Because we didn't gain in space. It's not that our family lives any better.
We gain in terms of the view that we get.
The view. Okay. And when you open the window, then what do you smell? Fish. Okay. Yeah. Well, in the other place, you open the window, you might have smelled the champa flowers and the other things like that. So that's definitely a gain. Okay. Okay, so what do you gain? It's the social prestige that you live there. Because in actuality, you know, how much view of the ocean where there's nothing happening? Ooh, a ship. Ooh. it's nice, but what do you gain? Because you can't open the window and get the breeze because you get the smell of the fish. Right? So then, it's social prestige. You understand? Yeah, so that's the whole point. Is that's the, like I mentioned before, so I was telling this one devotee from Calcutta, he had a huge flat, and he went to Bombay and got a huge flat. And because it's so that, he got a little dinky car, like a Wagon R, some little dinky thing. And then he goes and was meeting with others and stuff like that. And they go, you know, what are you doing? Why do you have such a small car? You know, like that. You know, when it's easy to get around, you can find parking and this and that. And all the things. And that, he says, and also the others are expensive, right? You know, instead of like, you know, eight lakhs, it costs you, you know, crores, right? So then he says, no, you don't understand. You're in Bombay. No one's going to go to your house. Absolutely no one's going to go to your house. So no one knows where you live in that. Nobody cares. But they care about your car. Like that. So you should buy a small flat and get a huge car. He moved back to Calcutta. So, yeah. So it's just a matter of what you value. The Brahmana continued, a saintly sage is happy and pleasing in his external behavior, whereas internally he is most grave and thoughtful. Because his knowledge is immeasurable and unlimited, he is never disturbed, and thus in all respects he is like the tranquil waters of the unfathomable and unsurpassable ocean. But why immeasurable and unlimited, this knowledge? Because he knows Krishna. Krishna is unlimited. So whatever Krishna wants to reveal in that you know, but that's, you're connected to him. So then you're functioning on that eternal platform. While others, they're functioning on the material platform, so it's always limited. So the sage will always have knowledge beyond because of his connection to the Lord.
So, Maharaj, can you please explain what is meant by the gravity, the greatness?
The gravity. Well, it means according to, I'm not sure, which of the six philosophies, that you have the atoms and they stick together on their own because of the element of gravity, like that. Well, we have a philosophy that as Krishna enters, that's why they stick together. Okay. Means grave, means that they're grave and thoughtful, means that you don't know what they're thinking. They're always absorbed in Krishna, so they're not just superficial. They're not too overly spunky. In other words, you don't invite them to your party if you want to have fun. No, you invite superficial people to your party because they'll make all kinds of things happen. Right? Oh, yeah. During the rainy season, the swollen rivers rush into the ocean. And during the dry summer, the rivers, now shallow, severely reduce their supply of water. Yet the ocean does not swell up during the rainy season, nor does it dry up in the hot summer. In the same way, a saintly person who has accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the goal of his life sometimes will receive by providence great material opulence, and sometimes he will find himself materially destitute. However, such a devotee of the Lord does not rejoice in a flourishing condition, nor is he morose when poverty is stricken. Footnote 7. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. Bhagavad Gita 2:7. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Bhagavad Gita 2:15. This is because they're always absorbed in Krishna. That was the point before.
Yes.
Right? So because of that grave and thoughtful, then they have something to say. There's something there. They're, you know, the actual dealing with a personality of substance.
Yes.
Right? That's another problem, is that if you have everybody like this, then you'll also have a nice program. Like that. Because then they're thoughtful and those things like that. So just grave means that they're undisturbed.
Yes.
You know, something comes up, they don't react, they think about it. You know? You know how you say it? I don't know who it was. I'm not sure if it was a king or a nobleman or something. They were out on their horses too. You know, one of the generals and the other person. And while they were on the battlefield, and then I think a cannonball came by and took off one of their legs. Right? And they're sitting on the horse. And the other one, you know, turned to him and said, you know, something about, wow. Says, the cannonball just knocked one of your legs off. And the other guy whose leg was, you know, knocked off, and looks down and says, yeah, I think you're right. You know? That's grave. Right? Very different than Hollywood movies. Everyone's yelling and screaming and this and that. That's not grave. Grave means you're thoughtful about it. Like that. You know, you think, then you speak, not that you just react.
I think it is one quality, Maharaj, of the 26 qualities.
Yes, yes. Grave is one of like that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, he explains what he learned from the ocean in two verses. He is inscrutable. Means even an intelligent person cannot understand him. Right? Because it's just, you don't know, because they're not reacting.
Yes.
Like that. The yogi mind cannot be understood by anyone. He cannot be surpassed because of his great power. Though sick or in different sick circumstances, he does not lose control of himself and reveal his inner nature. He is unagitated because he has conquered lust. So there's nothing to prove, nothing to. So he doesn't have to say that I'm doing this or that. Just there's no need. He doesn't have to express. He's satisfied in the self. He's thinking about the Lord. He's absorbed there. So you don't know what's going on. That's. Just as the ocean does not rise up because of monsoon rivers, nor does it dry up in the summer without rivers. The sage, though attaining many objects, does not rejoice because of attaining his desire. And when without anything, he does not lament because of poverty. The devotee of Narayana will have joy and sorrow by attaining or not attaining the sweetness of realization of the Lord. So sorrow is not being absorbed in the Lord, and happiness is joy is being absorbed in the Lord. That's the actual. Because the other things are going to come and go anyway. Because
yes.
We'll say, if I get this, I'll be happy. But having that, so many people have it, and they're not happy.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? The Brahmana continued. One who has failed to control his senses immediately feels attraction upon seeing a woman's form, which is created by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Indeed, when the woman speaks with enticing words, smiles coquettishly, is that how you say it? Yeah, coquettishly, and moves her body sensuously, his mind is immediately captured, and thus he falls blindly into the darkness of material existence. Just as the moth, maddened by the fire, rushes blindly into its flames. A foolish person with no intelligence discrimination is immediately aroused at the sight of a lusty woman, beautifully decorated with golden ornaments, fine clothing, and other cosmetic features. Being eager for sense gratification, such a fool loses all intelligence and is destroyed just like the moth who rushes into the blazing fire. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura writes, "The moth teaches that attachment to form is the cause of destruction. This is explained in two verses. Though the five sense objects are involved in being attracted to a woman, among all enjoyable objects, first the sense of sight falls victim to woman or other desired objects. Thus, form is the chief sense object." Right? Because from that, you can see the form in that. That's what it's going to be. So it's mentioning here, because it's mentioned, why it means is that is, when you're dealing with women, it's all five senses are involved. Mm-hmm. Like that. But the principle is that it's involvement of the senses, and it's also of that form is the first. Yes. So even if it's something else other than a woman, then it's going to be the form that starts.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense? You're attracted to a house or a car or, yes, you know, a watch or a computer, whatever it is, it's still going to start with the form. That's why you see is that therefore it was, before it was kind of like form had to follow the function. But then now it's just, as long as the form is good, you don't really care what if it looks good, it must be good.
Yes.
Right? You know, it's just like if the woman is beautiful, then you automatically think she's intelligent and everything else.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the difficulty, is that it starts with form. So then for everyone, that's where it starts. Does that make sense? So here this example is given because then it works very nicely, but it applies to everyone in any direction of any sense object.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm.
Yeah.
Maharaj, this is connected to the identification with the body.
Yes.
If there
yes.
is no identification to the body, there is no attraction for form.
No. Because otherwise, if you see form, then it's what you can use for Krishna. So you see the form, and then
yes.
you think of the other aspects and how to use it for Krishna.
Yes.
Is that? Yeah. Yeah. The BBT purport states, Srila Sridhar Swami explains in this regard that just as a moth is killed by its attraction to the form of fire, similarly a bee can easily be killed by exploiting its attraction to the fragrance of flowers. Furthermore, hunters may trap and kill an elephant by exploiting its sensuous desire to touch a captive female elephant, and may also kill a deer by attracting it with the sounds of their horns. And a fish is killed by its desire to taste the bait on a hook. Thus, one who desires to learn detachment from material illusion should accept these five helpless creatures as guru and learn the needful. Certainly, one who is lusty to enjoy the illusory form of a woman can be quickly buried in a material illusion. Of the five types of fatal attraction involving material sense objects, the lesson of rupa, or form, is illustrated in this verse. So Sridhar Swami is even taking it that all five of them, you're attracted by any of the five on the material platform, it can destroy you.
Yes.
Like that. But, as it was pointing out here by the Brahmana, of them, form is the strongest.
Yes.
But the point is any of them can.
Yes.
So that's why then the senses and the sense objects, one tries to avoid that seeing them, it's not that they're not engaged, but they're engaged in Krishna's service.
Yes.
That way then the form, then or any other aspects of the senses, then becomes connected to Krishna, then there's no illusion, there's no Maya. Because
yes.
Maya means the living entity as Purusha is thinking they can enjoy the material energy as Prakriti. Does that make sense? So you have the specifics as given here, the example of the woman's form. But the point is the material energy is the form of a woman,
yes.
of Mahamaya. So anything in the material energy that you're attracted to, that's going to catch your attention.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's always going to...
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's always working.
It's always working. It never doesn't work like that.
From tiny memorial.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The Brahman, yeah, and it will, yes, always be there. Because Krishna means, the point is we've taken out the actual point. Means Krishna, the form of the devotees, is the particular form to express the particular love they have for Krishna.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so then, that's the whole idea of what's happening, is that it's not about the form. It's about that love. And that love, that form naturally supports that expression of that love.
Yes.
So then it's a major aspect within the pastimes. Yes. But here, when we leave Krishna out of it, we just take the form and think we'll enjoy it.
Yes.
So the actual rasa aspect we've left out. Though people are always searching for it, but they've left that out.
Mm-hmm.
So it has this origin there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's what's there. It's just that here then it comes down into the negative, that it's about the external, and then here we identify with it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? There is one is servant of Krishna, and here it's that I am this particular body, therefore I identify with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Right? Because if you said this, that, okay, okay, let us just read this. When the gopis speak with enticing words, smile coquettishly, and moves their body sensuously, Krishna's mind is immediately captured. Now do we have any problem?
No.
No, now we're talking, you know, the panchadhyaya.
Yes.
Because there it's based on bhakti, but here it's not.
Yes.
Because there they identify as servant of Krishna, here we identify as the body.
Yes.
So then the man thinks I can enjoy woman, and the woman thinks I am enjoyable.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Not that they care if the man enjoys; they just want to, be the most desirable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not that they necessarily want to interact. Mm-hmm. Well, as we mentioned, we haven't actually mentioned this for many years, but it's like women when they dress up to look nice; it's not to impress the men, because you can impress the men in a potato sack. Right, you know, like that. Does that make sense? It's to impress the other women that I'm more attractive or desirable than you, like that. So that's the whole thing. Is that they're? Does that make sense? So it's not about the men. Men think it's all about them. It's nothing to do with them. They're trying to impress the other women. You know. So even in the mod, I think where women are half dressed, they're just impressing the other ladies that. They're more impressive than the other ones. And the men think, oh, it's about us. It's not about the men. So, yeah, so that's the whole thing. But here, they're trying to attract Krishna, to please Krishna. But here it's not. Right? So then these kind of things may, you know, some people get bent out of shape about them. Because then you're saying, oh, you're saying all these things about the ladies. But it's that, like, you know, it's like, of course, that's how it is. But the point is that it's not. It's the soul trying to control and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So that's the thing. It's the man trying to control and enjoy the woman. He doesn't realize he's being controlled and enjoyed by her.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So that's just how material energy works.
The cheater and the cheated.
Cheaters and the cheated, yeah. Yeah, each one is cheating the other one, and each one is being cheated. Yeah, so that's the thing. So in the Vedic, it's not going to go through he, she, or it. Now that's given this. Now you have to give one for men. You know, when Shah Rukh Khan comes out, then just you know, then you know, that it's not. You understand?
Yes.
So it's not going to do that. Then you have to give one for it. Then you have to give one for the guy who identifies as a pumpkin. You know, and all that. You just do that. The Vedic is generic, means he.
Yes.
And so then you use it in that context. But the same point is there. It's not that girls don't like the looks of some guys. Like that. Okay. Like I remember once, I can't remember what grade it was in, but it would have been like in, I think it was like in middle school. Kind of like that there. And I remember some girls talking in that. And one of them was asking about, you know, hey, but what happened? I thought you were with this guy. And the other girl says, no, he had a wart. You know? And then the other girl says, oh, okay, yeah. And You know, wart?
Mm-hmm.
Wart.
Wart. You get when you touch the frog.
Yeah, they say you get them when you touch frogs. Like that. You know, it's a viral thing. It's a little thing that just sprouts up and has this little bumps on it and everything like that. It's just skin. It's not something else. You know, now you know. Huh? It's not a boil.
It's the skin that comes off inside.
Yeah, you always have the witches always have one on the end of her nose, like that. You know.
Okay.
No, not French witches.
No.
Okay. French witches are called femme fatale, right? Like that. They're really good looking. They generally wear long black things and like this, and you, yeah, they come out of the shadows and nightclubs. And
slowly,
drag everybody. Yeah, as they walk by, everybody does. Yeah, they fall off the stools. They fall everything. Yeah. Yeah, that's a French witch. Like that. The Puritans, they can't go with that one, so then they have to have the pointed hat and the wart up the nose and all that. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Is French never went to any who did go to America, they didn't go to America for religious freedom, right? They were not Puritans. Yeah. It's an interesting point. Okay. Okay, so whatever. It's some skin blemish.
Okay.
And because of the skin blemish, then the girls rejected the guy. So it's just form. Because there's some defect in the form. Not in his personality or that, or, you know, he's rough or inconsiderate or lazy or, you know, any quality like this. It was simply just the form. So it's the same principle. Like that. So, yeah, okay. Yes. After that digression, then we're done. The Brahmana continued. A saintly person should accept only enough food to keep his body and soul together. He should go from door to door accepting just a little bit of food from each family, not a lot from one, a little bit. Because then he'll become dependent upon, like that. You know, or think that this person gave. No, if you get a little bit from everybody, then at the end you see, oh, how Krishna arranged. That's why it's like that. You know? Does that make sense?
What's about people who have a diet?
you do this and you'll be okay. Generally you need to diet because of getting too much in one place, like that, you know. I don't think anybody has to diet because of always being on, you know, having just enough to eat. Like that, yeah. Especially to practice the occupation of the honeybee. Just as the honeybee takes nectar from all flowers, big and small, an intelligent human being should take the essence from all religious scriptures. Okay, so what's the essential point of this service to Krishna? How to apply that in there? Then that's taken. And that's what's applied. And other things, the details that are not applicable to us as devotees, and that you just leave. Just like the flower is there, it's a nice flower, but they only take the pollen.
Yes.
Like that, the nectar, what they can make honey from.
Mm-hmm.
So that what you can make devotional service from, that's what you take, and the other parts you leave.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're bad, like the flower's not bad, but it's just you only require this part. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, he learns from the bee in two verses, just as the bee stays in one lotus because of greed for its special fragrance, he becomes trapped inside when the petals close at night. The sage, taking shelter of one house because of greed for its good qualities, becomes trapped there by that illusion. Therefore, one should accept a little from each house and eat only to keep the body alive. One commits violence against the householders by taking too much or too little. Right? So, otherwise, you take too little, then they're not engaging themselves nicely. You take too much, they'll also think that they have control in all this, and then that person will be obliged, and then they will get, you know, just it creates a problem either way.
Yes.
So that's why it says sage has to reciprocate.
Yes.
They're being respectful, he has to reciprocate that, you know, acknowledge it.
Yes.
So you have to have both, so it can't be too much or too little, because either way will be bad for all parties.
Yes.
Right, but this is it's the side that he deals with. Grihastha is done this. Then we've seen the other places where it tells about taking care of guests, giving in charity, and all those things. So that's that side. Right? He also learns from the bee to take the essence of Dharma from scriptures. The Brahmana continued, "A saintly person should not think, 'This food I will keep to eat tonight, and this other food I can save for tomorrow.'" Like, it's depending on what it is. Like, if it's got tomatoes in it, you can only save it for tonight. It won't save till tomorrow. You know, but the things that don't have in it, then that you could keep. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, the leftover pasta, you eat that tonight, and the halva, you can eat that tomorrow morning. Now that makes sense?
Yeah.
Not to everybody. The brahmacharis are all smiling, yes. They've got that one. In other words, a saintly person should not store foodstuffs acquired by begging. Rather, he should use his own hands as his plate and eat whatever fits on them. Right? Because whatever fits on your hands, that you can't overeat. Right? I mean, if you really work at it, yeah, you could probably sit there and put an amount of halva on there that you could kill yourself with. But the normal thing is, if you're begging, then people put stuff there. It's all different things. You can only put a certain amount. So that's one of the brattas, is you only eat whatever it fits into your hands. Right? Hands means outstretched, you know, hands. Not hands means how many things you can carry in bags. I'll only eat as much pieces as I can carry in my hands. Oh, no, I think that 12th box will fit. Yeah.
It is like the bowl.
Yeah, it's like it's your hands, so it's just like that. But generally, because it's flat, things will fall off. Well, the bowl, you can kind of go more. So it's just one of the techniques. So he's just showing that that's what they... It's one of the vratas. Because they have their bowl, yeah. But one of the vratas is you don't use a bowl. You use your hands.
Okay.
Not that they may not have a bowl, but they don't beg with the bowl. They beg with their hands. His only storage container should be his belly, and whatever conveniently fits into his belly should be his stock of food. You don't keep more, right? Thus, one should not imitate the greedy honeybee who eagerly collects more and more honey. That's the whole point, is those who are... It's his duty, he does that, and what's his benefit from that? Right? He will then... Others will get benefit by what he's collected.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Just like the greedy person, if he's following the scripture, then he makes so much money, but he has to pay those who assist him. Right? Has to take care of dependents.
Yes.
Right? He has to pay taxes and you know, duties to the government. He has to give in charity to the Brahmins and religious people.
Yes.
Right? And so that reduces... Right? So that's the whole point, is so the bees don't go out, and you don't see the bees coming knock on your door and then give you a pot of honey, right? You know, so slightly different, but the principle is it will be taken. Whatever, the businessman works hard, it will be taken because he has family members, he has, you know, guests, the religious duties, the government, you know, and then of course, then you have thieves, you know, stuff like that. So that's the whole point, is that it will all be taken away. So the saintly person learns this and just keeps how much is necessary. Because anyway, you only get how much you need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yeah. A saintly mendicant should not even collect foodstuffs to eat later in the same day or the next day. If he disregards this injunction and, like the honeybee, collects more and more delicious foodstuffs, that which he has collected will indeed ruin him. Right? Some way it will get you. How, you don't know, but it will. You know, that leftover sandwich sitting there, it will get you in the middle of the night. Come and nibble on your toes or something, yeah.
So you see, when you receive, you just take it.
That means you go and somebody gives more or less, then you just go like that. So you may go to three houses, you may go to seven houses, but the point is generally, you limit that. You have how much fits in your hands, or that, you know, I think it's seven houses is the,
yes, yes,
the maximum, yes, yes, like that. So you know, and generally three is considered the minimum because you don't want to take from one place.
If someone gives rice, that.
Yeah, but if everybody just gives dal, then you're in trouble, right? How much was it? Hey, you beg out begging all day. Yeah, everyone gives dal, and my hands still aren't full, right? You know? Yeah, so it's yeah. The idea is that it's controlling it, so you don't, because if you go to more than seven houses, you'll get more than you require.
Yes.
Right? Or you limit it, because if you have a bowl, you could get more. You limit to your hands, and then when they're full, then you stop. So if they're full after three houses, you stop. If they're full after five or full after seven, whatever it is. But if they're not full by seven, you stop anyway. Yes.
Maharaj, it means usually brown houses they go to, or any houses?
Depends. Sadhus, Brahmins will generally go to Brahmin houses. But technically you can go to any house. But generally it's, especially means here, these realized persons, it doesn't matter. Because then they're benefiting whoever. But those who are sadhakas and trying to get, they would tend to stay towards the Brahmin houses if they're from that background. Like that. Because otherwise then it throws off the consciousness. But someone who's situated like this Brahmin's talking about, it won't. Like I mentioned before, about even there's something wrong, it's seemingly sinful, like they're taking food from people who are sinful. They won't get the sinful reaction because they're so that it'll just burn off because of their absorption in the eternal. It will get rid of the absorption as sat gets rid of anything that's asat.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So it doesn't mean sinful means that they go out and, you know, go to the casino or something like that. It means that they're doing duties that carry karma. It won't affect them. So they could, for the benefit of all these people, but otherwise those who aren't on that platform, they'll generally stick to those who have good standard. Those mean, even Brahmins, those who are practicing Brahmins, not just, you know. Does that make sense? So before it was easier to tell, because you had villages of Brahmins where everyone knows who's who and stuff like that. So that nowadays it's be a little hard to tell. You're not even sure, you know, in the inner city if you do want to go door to door, right, but, yes.
Yes, we've had a few occasions here in Mayapur when people come begging at the door, and if you give them prasad and they want money, and then one time we gave some Lakshmi and they wanted more. So
yeah, you don't bother with people like that.
No,
like that. I mean, when you run into beggars and you give them a proper amount and they ask for more and tell you this story about how this and that and medical treatment and this and all that and their kid and going to die, you just don't bother. They'll just take as much as they can get. Like that. It's not that they're bona fide beggars. They're exploiting their position. Because Prabhupada says, only because they have that humble mood, then you give. That's right. Before it was, they sat down. You gave to those ones. The ones that follow you and chase you, technically you don't need to give them anything. Because that's not what they're supposed to do. But if you do, then you give what you give, and if they complain, it doesn't matter how much you give, they'll want more. So it's not like they'll be happy.
It seems that this Brahmana I read, it is Dattatreya, no?
Yes.
Dattatreya. So it's not... I read, you know, a little before, that the name is Dattatreya, this Brahmana. It's like incarnation of Krishna. It's not he's not ordinary one.
No, I mean, it says, well, nobody's Bhagavatam, no one's ordinary. Right, you know. That's why it's special. We want to hear more from ordinary guys. You know, it's like they tell you, yeah, this story, you know, there's this, you know, Brahmachari, he lives on the second floor, you know, the room down at the end on the right and all that, and he came out and, you know, his you know, rubber flip-flops weren't there, you know, that he usually goes to the bathroom with, but they weren't there. But, you know, he didn't get disturbed by that because he knew that, you know, the Brahmachari from the other side of the halls, you know, sometimes borrows them, though he doesn't really like it because sometimes then you know, he doesn't treat them properly, he puts them in the wrong place, or he forgets to put them back and all that. But no, but you know, but he tries to, you know, go like that. But then the problem is when he does go in the bathroom without them, then, you know, he gets that little stuff between the toes and all that. And so, but, you know, but still he tries to, you know, not get affected by it and all that. And so he goes and... Shall I continue? Yes, okay. So then we'll hear about Dattatreya. Yeah. So that's the whole point, is we want to hear, you know, the someone who's big and like that, we want to hear that. But the point is the principle applies to our situation. Like that. So, yeah. So that's why it's always the big guys. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.